This podcast and everything that is said throughout is a joke. Do not believe anything you hear. Do not rely on any statements that are made about any legal issues. If you have any concerns or questions about a legal matter, you should speak to an attorney. You must not mistake anything said to be the truth, because any reference to the law, whether specific or in general, is often intentionally incorrect. Because as I stated at the outset, in my very first sentence, this is all a joke. If you had just been paying attention earlier, this disclaimer would already be over. But I could tell you were only half listening. So here it is one more time. This show is a joke. Now please return to your naturally dull state of mind and enjoy the Office of the General Counsel.
Three, two, one.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to Office of the General Counsel, everybody. Welcome. How's it going, Ken? We're here. This is exciting.
You actually don't say the one.
Oh, you skipped the one. I blew that, didn't I?
Yeah.
You're supposed to go two, leave a space.
Blank.
So that there's like air. Oh. I stepped on it.
I'm fine.
Okay. Well, you live, you learn. And I've learned, hey, listen, I'm no broadcaster. I'm an attorney. I'm an attorney at law, doing my best. And, you know, I learn things as I go, and now I learn, don't say the one. Three, two. Although it's really kind of anticlimactic if you're doing a countdown. You don't get to do the one. But, hey, if that's the price of being a broadcaster. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I'm doing. Far be it for me to question how things are done. From now on, you don't say the one. Probably best if I don't count down at all. Maybe I shouldn't be counting down. It was. I got wrapped up in the moment. It was fun.
And looked like you were enjoying yourself, but
yeah,
don't count with me.
I was all animated. Yeah, it was a whole thing. But I'm excited today. Well, it's kind of an odd situation. We're here. We're not in the office. This is unprecedented. Episode 9, not in the office of the General Counsel. The office is, we didn't really get a clear explanation. We're in my apartment, okay? So we're in my lavish apartment. It's really great here, but still, we're not in the office of the General Counsel. So I will say that, make that disclaimer at the outset. You know, there was some additional construction that needed to be done in the office space. I also heard a rumor that there was some concern about research and design having contamination, potentially radioactive contamination, in the upper floors of the building. I can't confirm or deny that. Those are rumors I've heard. I will say, though, that when I left my office, I was told, be out of the office for the rest of the week. And as I walked out the door on Wednesday, I closed my door, and as I left, I could see coming out of the air conditioning grates were like thousands of tiny spiders. That's what I thought I saw. I mean, I just was like, oh, that looks like thousands of tiny spiders. Like blue, bright blue, almost glowing tiny spiders were streaming into my office out of the air conditioning vent. And I just said, you know what? I'm closing the door and I'm going home. That's not my business. It's not my job to deal with these spiders. I'm leaving. There's a guy there's a spider guy. I've heard there's a spider guy.
That was probably just dust.
But blue? Like blue. And I could have sworn they had.
I think you're just seeing things.
I was really affected by the movie Arachnophobia when that came out. That really, it ruined Roseanne for me because John Goodman was in that movie and I was so scared of it that I couldn't watch the later years of Roseanne, which was a great show. Wonderful show. Historic American television, Roseanne. Because it's about regular people. There's very few shows, actually, that when you think about it, very few shows are about regular people living their lives. Because who cares about those people? They're garbage people. They're just, you know, they're struggling to make ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck. Give me a break. I don't want to hear your sob stories about, you know.
That was a good show.
Great show. Great show with
give me
great
a break.
People. Oh, give me a break.
Not Roseanne.
Yes. Give me a break. Give me a break. What was her name? Nell Carter.
There you go.
Yeah. Hitting all the oldies. Anybody born anytime reasonably soon has no idea what we're talking about. Millennials are just like, their eyes are crossed and they're
They're searching YouTube as we speak.
You think they're actually bothering to look it up?
Nope.
Nope. Nope. You're not millennials. You're a bunch of self-important jerks. Wait, I think I might technically be a millennial. No, I'm a little bit before millennial. I think millennials should be considered here. This is Office of General Counsel official proclamation on millennials. I think anybody who you could be considered a millennial if you grew up and the internet was already a thing. Right?
I agree with that.
Like you were a kid and the internet existed. Whereas I went to college and did not, like, I got to college and, like, then the internet was there at college. But the internet wasn't a thing before that for me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it existed. I'm not claiming the internet didn't exist before 1996. But for me, personally, no internet at all. So that's how I mark it. That's a definite time, right, for people to judge generations.
Yeah, sure.
Like in public. Yeah, just judging them when I get internet. Right. Going forward, I wonder what the next generation will be. What will the next generation be, Ken?
Porn stars.
Everybody's porn stars. Because they're so free with themselves.
The internet.
Yeah. Well, you hear crazy things going on the internet, you know? I try to stay away from the whole thing.
Yeah.
You notice that the Office of General Counsel doesn't even have a computer.
Well, there's no computers in the building.
I know, which I still think is weird. I should bring that up with Stu. Oh, speaking of, okay, so let's, so this is a digression right out of the
back. Back to the construction in the office.
Yeah.
All I heard was they were draining the altar.
Yeah, and so draining the altar, like that was on my initial memo. And I was like, draining the altar, that seems odd. But there is a place on the front of it that is like a little spigot. Like if you pull up, I'm too afraid to do that. I'm not going to touch anything. You know
well, you're
I mean?
You're not sanctioned to touch it.
Yeah, I think it's union. Well, maybe it's union rules. I assumed it's union rules. But I'm also just not going to touch anything that gross. You know, it's it looks like a little devil's, like it's a pitchfork, sort of, coming through his pants. So, like not really pants because he's not wearing pants, but like a... In that area, there's like a little pitchfork area. And then right there, there's a little tab that you could boop, and I presume something comes out of it. But why would there be anything in there? That's my question. I mean, the altar predates, obviously, me being in that office, but it's gross.
You've never hung out after midnight, so.
No, nor will I. You know, this. I have had a couple nights where my alarm had to alert me saying, hey, hey, hey. I mean, this isn't what my alarm says. This is me paraphrasing. I'm paraphrasing. My alarm doesn't sound like, hey, hey, hey. Hey, you got to get out of here. No, but my alarm is like, hey, it's 11:45. You got to get going. Because I burn the midnight oil sometimes. This job has become more and more demanding. I'm easing into it as I do everything in life. I've had some late nights, but never past midnight. As soon as that alert goes, hey, 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 I'm out the door, Jack.
Smart.
You know? There was even... Something came up the tube once. This was right after... I get this alert. It's 11:45. I'm putting on my coat. Got my stuff in my bag. And just as I'm about to leave, all of a sudden I hear the... See you later, everything. Great. So enough about my driver. Let's talk more about... So we're in my apartment. Really nice. Obviously, I've mentioned before that I moved into this apartment kind of recently when I got this job at Unwinnable. I've started putting up artwork all over. That piece of art over there, for example, I bought at Christie's for $25,000 at an auction. nobody else was really bidding after 10,000, but I was just like, I want like a 20-something thousand dollar piece of artwork. So I was like, 10,000. It was quiet, and I was just like, 15. And the guy was like, okay, 15 from this guy. And then I just waited, and then nobody else was bidding, but I was like, 25. Like, I got carried away, I think, a little bit. I got really into it. I think I outbid myself like three or four times and drove the price up to 25. But now I get to say that's a $25,000 piece of artwork.
Way to be a braggart.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally just a painting of, it's just a black canvas. It used to be a white canvas, and I think the guy just put a bunch of black paint on it, but it's striking. Like, it's really striking, and it's, you know, the size of, it's about like 4x6 or so, and it's a huge black thing, black canvas on my wall that I can tell people cost $25,000. Don't tell Stu that I actually put that on the company credit thing. It was like a expense account that I'm supposed to use for certain purposes. You know, between you,
you know,
and I.
You know he signs off on the executive expenses, right?
Well, that one was recently submitted, and I'll tell you this, I haven't done this yet, but I have this expense account supposed to be used for limited purposes, and I've done that till now, but I really wanted this piece of artwork just so I could say I was an art collector, sort of. It's fun. It's, I'm trying to, you know, I think I'm getting at, I'm out of my head a little bit with this job. I feel like I'm too big for my britches at this point, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to get this piece of art, I'm just going to expense it to the company. Fuck them. You know, like, they, Unwinnable owns it, fine, like, whatever. It's an Unwinnable piece of art, but it's here in my apartment. It looks rather bland, quite frankly, but, you know, the guy's supposed to be important, and I bought it. But, you know, the rest of my apartment's pretty nice. You know, I've got new furniture and whatnot. These couches are, I don't know, they're not Italian leather. It's, I think they're actually Iranian. I think I got them at a steep discount because we weren't supposed to be purchasing things from Iran. And I found there was a way to get these couches that were from Iran. So I snatched them up, and they came clandestine in the middle of the night. There was like a, people, actually, it was really weird because I was sitting here in my bedroom and I started to hear somebody's throwing rocks at my window. And I go over the window and I like look out, and there was a delivery truck that looked sort of like the van from Back to the Future, where the Libyans, or I think were they, I think it was the Libyans.
Yes.
The Libyans, like that kind of van was there, and they were just like, couch, your couch.
Like a box truck or...
Yeah, like one of those, yeah. And so
delivery,
I was like,
vans.
Come on. And so they brought it up in the middle of the night. I signed off on what I assume is only just a bill of lading, I hope. But, you know, we'll find out if anything bad comes out of that. Hopefully that's okay. I'm making some questionable choices right now.
Did you open the cushions?
Oh. I haven't opened the cushions.
There could be something good in there.
There could be something good in there. Like, that's like an area of the world where there's a lot of, like, opium flowing through and, like, illicit, like, maybe there might be jewels or some shit inside your couch.
Guns.
Guns? Oh, that'd be, wow. That'd be crazy.
The guns.
Yeah. I am firmly against gun violence, but I do own an Arm Depot's worth of weapons, just in case. I've been seduced into the survivalist realm, you know, like people who are just preparing for the end of days. I've gotten just a lot of, basically right now I just have a bunch of guns. I don't have anything else. So I have no food, I have no water, I have no communication methods or anything like that. I just have a bunch of guns that I am not trained to use. I'm not qualified to use. The only time I touched one, I accidentally shot a friend of mine, you know, who shouldn't have been standing in my apartment the first time I touch a gun. Here's my rule. If somebody's touching a gun for the first time, don't be anywhere near them. And if you are, shame on you. At least that's what I said to that person, and they weren't really happy with that response, but which is understandable. But I'm going to get used to it eventually. I just need to find the time to get to a gun range and have somebody very gently put it in my hand. I have a tendency to grab guns, like grab it with a gusto that tends to always cause them to go off as soon as I touch them.
I would be a little more gentle.
Yeah. You know, it's...
But if you ever want to get rid of them, Unwinnable pays pretty good money for scrap metal.
Oh, that's good to know. Like a kind of a gun buyback program.
They melt them down.
Yeah. Oh, good for them. Good for Unwinnable. Unwinnable's always doing great, wonderful works for people all over the world. It's their primary focus after Unwinnable Monthly. The rest of the website, all the podcasts that happen, Geek Flea, Stu's own whims. And then after that is humanitarian stuff at the bottom of the list. So, you know, we're here in my apartment. This is sort of like an off episode. I did want to let you guys know that we are not... We wanted to get together a reunion show, sort of, and just kind of revisit some of the people we've spoken to. That has been a disaster. We can't find virtually any of our previous guests. Ted Stacey.
Oh, gone. Ted.
Trip Flippington.
Who?
I have no idea where he is. Remember Evelyn Mitchell from accounting? Nothing. Haven't heard. I mean, to be fair, I don't know if I could pick her out of a lineup. I try not. I didn't look her really even in the eyes. I try not to look people in the eyes too much in the hallways of Unwinnable. I have sort of a magnetic presence. If I look people in the eyes, they sort of become enamored, especially the ladies. So I try not to look too much into people's eyes. I try to just kind of like deal with them, and people think I'm rude, but I'm just, trust me, I'm doing them a favor, because they get entranced in looking, you know, they just kind of like dive into my eyes, and it just, you know, there's no getting out of it because they're just so goddamn blue. So her, I don't, you know, I'm not even sure I would know what she looked like, but everybody else, I just have, even, we just had Blintz Quabbles on a couple times ago, have no idea where Blintz is. I don't know, there must be a new sous chef down there. He's not around. The only people who are around are actually Ian, who I've known for years, George, who I've known for years. They're around. Everybody else?
I'm around.
Well, yeah, you're always around. You have to be.
Mm.
I don't know what would happen.
Me neither.
But you know what? We should stay. We should. You should have a strike and see what happens.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah? Yeah, you know, I could picture Unwinnable having some pretty nasty Pinkerton types who come around to, like, Union Bust and... bust some heads to get people back on the job, and we don't want to have that happen to you, Ken. So let's go over really quickly our the best news we have. We actually have some pretty good news here for the Office of the General Counsel and my legal department in general, is that we finished our RICO investigation, everybody. Congratulations to us. I've successfully asked every single person you know, that's of importance, whether or not they RICO'd. Every single person said no. Nobody RICO'd. So congratulations to us. Unwinnable, I'm pretty sure, is going to... I'm confident now to go forward to the government and say, hey, nobody RICO'd. You're barking up the wrong tree. And then I'll ask them to show me the documents that have a signature on them that prove that somebody RICO'd, and they won't be able to do it. There's no way they're going to be able to show a single piece of paper that... Oh, hold on a second. Let me just reach over the pneumatic tube here.
Alert! This is Mr. L34M2 from Standards and Practices. Office of the General Counsel is experiencing technical difficulties due to poor content and sinusoidal fluctuations. Please stand by.
Sonata.
A few guesses I want to update everybody on the middle name game, which is still going on. I didn't lead off the show by saying, see, I'm so out of sorts with being in my apartment that I'm completely forgetting some of the formatting things I do. You know, my name's Ed Coleman. You call me Edward A. Coleman Esquire. There were a few guesses on what my middle name was this week. Alkaline. Come on.
I like that one.
Yeah. I mean, what am I, a battery or a trio? It's ridiculous. Amsterdam, which is also, that's, I think people are poking fun. And Abigail, which I think is a beautiful name. I should be so lucky to have my name be Abigail. It's not. I do have a dear friend named Abigail, which you should check out some of her stuff. Ruby Ray, she goes under. She's a very talented person. But no, I'm not. My middle name is not Abigail, you guys. My name is a male. It's a man's name. It's a male name that begins with A. It's a little Andrew. Odd. No, it's not Andrew. Andrew. Let me write that down so I can add that to the list of
things. Adam.
No, you don't. I think Adam's been guessed, and you don't get multiple guesses in a week, Ken.
Sorry.
Yeah. And also, I don't want you poking around my house looking for my, you know, my birth certificate or my social security number, which I...
Your report cards.
All of my report cards, but you can see on that wall, I have them all framed, and I probably shouldn't have put my driver's license, my birth certificate, and my social security number up on the wall, like in frames, but I got into, like, this framing thing, and Michael's had a really good sale that I just could not say no to. Like, how do you say no to a frame that fits a driver's license that's, like, literally, like, you know, 3 inches by, you know, 2 inches? I was just like, oh, look at that cute little frame. That'd be perfect for my driver's license. And so I put that up there and my Sam's Club card and whatnot. And all of my my childhood report cards are up there. I'm not showing off. I got a lot of A's. Couple B's here and there,
but real brainiac.
Yeah, more than anything, I'm better at taking tests. And like teachers would be like, you know, they ask questions, and you know what teachers want to hear. And so you just kind of, you know, tell them what they want to hear. And I'm really good at taking multiple choice tests. That's how I passed the bar, I think. They make you write essays, but I don't think anybody reads them. We did get an Ask an Attorney this week, which we haven't gotten a lot of. I'll remind you right now. You have any questions, legal or otherwise, tweet at me at unwinnable OOTGC. OOTGC stands for Office of the General Counsel. That's really obvious to everybody except for you. So don't feel stupid, but you probably should feel stupid because it's a stupid question. Unwinnable OOTGC, tweet at me. But you can ask an attorney. You can even use the hashtag ask an attorney. It makes it easier to find with all of the tweets I'm getting. It's ridiculous how much activity is coming through there. But... I got a question from BoobJiggler69, which again, are you screwing with me with your names? Like, this is how you present yourself to the public? That this is who you want to be? You want to be BoobJiggler69? But their question was, what's the difference between an attorney and a lawyer? Now, BoobJiggler, I don't want to presume you're an idiot, but your question suggests you are. There is no difference between an attorney and a lawyer. They're just two words that just mean you're a lawyer. I like to say attorney because it sounds a little fancier and because people like to say like derogatory stuff about lawyers. To be honest, you know, they're all assholes, but attorney sounds better. So I say attorney a lot, you know, I'm an attorney. There is a different thing over in England where they have like barristers and solicitors. And I think some of them wear wigs, and they get to, like, tickle the queen, and the other guy does the paperwork. I don't know what it is. There's a division of only some people get to talk in court, and I'm pretty convinced some people get to tickle the queen. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure somebody gets to tickle the queen. Solicitors do the work. Barristers get to talk in court and tickle the queen. So they have a division over there. Here in America, you're an attorney. You're a lawyer, doesn't matter. We're all just doing our best, showing up in court, objecting to things, asking questions of witnesses.
Yelling at people.
So, no, I try to keep it nice and calm in the courtroom because, you got to think about it. Like a jury, they're looking at you. They want a show. They want to look at like a Law and Order. They want to watch an episode of Law and Order. Or they want to watch an episode of L.A. Law. Well, that's a dated reference that proves you're 37. Ally McBeal or something more. That's more Boston Legal. I don't know. What TV shows are on now? I didn't even watch. Anyway, they want to watch a performance, and they don't want to be bogged down with boring stuff. So I tell them right at the outset, I'm not going to bore you. I'm not even going to present the necessary legal evidence to win this case, but I bet you'll find for me at the end because I've got a little pizzazz, I got a little razzle-dazzle. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm right. That's a strange thing to admit. So, yeah, no difference between attorney versus lawyer. Don't worry about it. You can go to an attorney. You can go to a lawyer. It's the, they're all qualified. It just depends on what state they're barred in. I'm barred in two right now, and I'm working on the other 48. Starting with Bama. So, I'm already home. This is kind of an odd way to wrap the show up, but it's kind of weird. Like, well, I'm here. You want to have a sleepover? You can stay here. We can make. I bought the couches that were from Iran. I asked for extra pillows for pillow fort purposes. I wrote down, I'm big on pillow forts. What can you do to maximize my pillow forts? And this person showed me this couch is like, it's a normal size couch, sort of. It's maybe one extra seat for a person. But there are double the number of cushions as you'd expect. Each cushion has another cushion underneath. And there's even like a keystone cushion that if you put it in the right spot, the whole thing just becomes this fort that, you know, I set it up for like maybe a couple weeks at a time, and that's where I sleep sometimes. And
no, thanks. I saw this Mexican place down the street next to a strip club. I think I'm going to hit those up.
Well, if you ever
Tacos and tacos.
That was the name of the place? Oh, you're saying...
Well, it's like kind of together with a strip club, but they're like side by side, tacos and tacos.
Oh, I've never noticed it. I noticed a taco place, but I didn't realize it was actually connected to the strip club.
To the strip club.
Well, weird.
Tacos and tacos.
Wow. Well, I'm not one to... Who am I to say I'm not going to go in a strip club? I've been in strip clubs. They're great, and I wish all sex workers the best. They're great people. But I haven't gotten into this one down the street before. I've been so busy. But now that I know that there's tacos in there, sit back, kick back, enjoy a taco, and we'll have a little show.
Just walk 10 feet behind me.
Oh, you don't want to be you don't even want me to be associated with you as we walk in. By the way, I do have to apologize to you, Ken. This I should have said at the outset. Everything else being equal, I apologize that I'm wearing my casual suit right now. It's sort of like the suit I wear around the house so I feel comfy. It's made of like this, it's basically like sweatpant material. It's made of sweatpants, but it's a suit. You know, it's cut the way a suit would be cut. It's got the tie, it's got the jacket and the lapels and everything. But it is a very, very casual suit. More casual than, obviously, you've ever seen me in. So I apologize for being so casual. I just felt since we're in my house, I didn't want to get all dolled up for the show. But I will, if we go to the strip club, get dolled up. And then maybe you'll be okay being seen with me.
Maybe.
You know what? I'm going to write down maybe. Because that's for me, that's a small victory. Small victory with Ken. He said... Maybe. Well, we'll see what happens there. Apparently, I don't have anybody to sleep over. Hey, if you want to sleep over sometime in my apartment, shoot me up at... hit me up, shoot me up. What? I'm stuck in my Second Amendment thing here. Hit me up on Twitter, on Winnable OTGC. I'm just going to wrap this show up, because... why not?
Tacos and tacos.
Tacos and tacos are calling. You know, we've delivered a show despite the fact that the office was closed. Stu did email me and said, you better do a show this week. I don't like the tone of his emails are very poor. I don't know if he realizes it. He probably does. I feel like Stu knows what he's doing when he writes stuff. And he said, you better do a show this week.
I saw him in Standards and Practices the other day.
Oh, again. You're always in Standards and... I feel like every time we talk, you're in Standards and Practices.
No, I wasn't in it. I passed by and Stu was in it.
Oh, that might not be good. I wonder why Stu was visiting Standards and Practices. You know, they have actually reached out to me several times to request to be on the show. That's the first time that's happened. Usually it's me, like, looking through the halls of Unwinnable for guests. Standards and Practices looking to come on and talk to me about the show. And I've been ignoring them because I feel like I can treat them like they're the man. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you guys. You don't get to tell me what to do. But now Stu's visiting them. Damn. Well, we'll deal with that when it comes. I feel fine. Hey, I have an employment contract here that I know is rock solid, and I have nothing to worry about. By the way, I did make a little bit of progress in for reading the contract. I've now got a system set up where I'm going to go to sleep and have somebody read it to me live, like in the room. Because before I was going to have it recorded and just kind of listen to it throughout my day. Now I think by listening to it at night while I'm sleeping, it'll stick in my head better. And not having to pay somebody to record it, because we had that recording studio, unfortunately, update, no survivors were found when that sinkhole opened up. There was somebody reading my contract, and they were getting pretty far through, further through than I ever got, certainly. And suddenly a sinkhole opened up and devoured that recording studio, and that's a terrible thing that happened. It's a tragedy, and you know, that's those people will not be forgotten. Never forget, I always say about that date, which was sometime a month ago. But so now I think what I'm going to do is have somebody come in and live read to me. They can stay in my pillow fort in the living room when they're done reading. But they read for like 4 hours right after I fall asleep. They have to wait for me to fall asleep, which is tricky because I kind of like, you know, I toss and turn a little bit. But once they're convinced I'm asleep, they start reading. And I think if they just read for like 4 hours solid, in maybe, I would say it would take no longer than 18 weeks to read the contract 4 hours a night. So that's my new plan. I just have to find somebody I'm comfortable with staying in my house that long. So do you want to do it? I know you're not available for the sleepover tonight, but if you wanted to, Ken, you can do that.
I'm good.
Okay, so the call is on for anybody who wants to be the person to read my contract to me while I sleep.
I can't read your contract. I can only read my contract.
That's fair enough. You don't want to get too involved in other people's business, and that's understandable. And it's that's probably the only reason. So, okay, well, that's the update right now. Hope you guys are all doing well. I want to say that since we've been calling for people to listen to the show, the response has been tepid. I don't want to say disappointing because I like to look at the positive. But seriously, guys, come on. We're coming. We're showing up. We're talking in these fucking microphones every week. Somebody's got to listen. Anyway, tell your friends about the show. Tell your colleagues, tell your enemies.
Tell your lawyers.
Tell your lawyers for sure. Come on, why aren't there more lawyers listening to this show? Guys, I will give you life lessons. Start contacting me. I'm going to make you a better lawyer. So thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Office of the General Counsel. I'm sure you enjoyed it as much as we did. Make sure that you listen. I say it every time. Make sure you read Unwinnable Monthly. Make sure you subscribe to Unwinnable Monthly. It's Unwinnable's flagship product, and everybody should be enjoying it. It's great. Real quick digression as I try to ramp down the show and bring up a new topic for no reason. My favorite thing about Unwinnable Monthly right now is the... I wish I could think of the name of the thing where the one woman is doing the art of all of the mythical creatures. And Stu is writing, like,
yes,
sort of a little passage.
That is very cool.
Yeah, it's called, like, the Monstertorium or the Imaginarium or the Mythological Larian, whatever. That is awesome. The art is fantastic. Stu's writing is, you know, Stu's writing. It's great. But, yeah, the art's pretty badass. It's really great just right up at the front of the Unwinnable Monthly to see that. So
don't forget to subscribe to Office of the General Counsel and all our podcasts on iTunes for... free.
Perfect. See, Ken? Doing his job. All of our podcasts, guys, this is free content that is just pouring into your ears. All you gotta do is subscribe and write a review and tell other people about it and maybe hang up some flyers in your neighborhood and feel free to send us money for no reason. But anyway, guys, you've been great. I love you all, each and every one of you, individually. And if we ever meet, I'll give you a little butterfly kiss on your cheek. That's how much I care about you. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Office of the General Counsel. It's sort of like a weird mood here today, and I apologize for that, but we're doing the best we can, and we're all having a good time. On behalf of Ken Lucas, our intrepid producer, I am Ed Coleman. You can call me Edward A. Coleman, Esquire, and we will see you next time on the Office of the General Counsel. Goodbye.